Brothers and sisters, it's a great pleasure to be here this morning and to see you. I don't think you really realize that the magnificent picture that you are. It's a marvelous work and a wonder, brothers and sisters, to see you here this morning. This doesn't happen everywhere in the world. I hope you understand that students at a university would get up before 6 o'clock in the morning to be at a morning side. Particularly dressed in shirts and ties and dresses. It's just a marvelous sight. If we could, brothers and sisters, this morning turn our scriptures, open our scriptures to the Book of Mormon, chapter 1, verse 1. Actually, let's go to verse 2. Mormon is going to, he's abridging the record, and he's going to give us a little bit of information about himself. In verse 2 of chapter 1 says, "And about the time that Amron hid up the records unto the Lord, he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age." So Mormon was 10 years old when this took place. "And I began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And Amron said unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child and art quick to observe." Now, brothers and sisters, Elder Bednar gave a talk at BYU, Provo, probably a little over a year ago, and it was entitled, "Quick to Observe." And he talked a little bit about what it meant to be quick to observe. And he said, really, there's two meanings to this, being quick to observe. First of all, quick to see. And second of all, quick to obey. Quick to obey what the Lord would have us do. I was thinking about what I wanted to say this morning. I thought I could say nothing better or do nothing better for you this morning than to bear my testimony. To bear my testimony of this program, and I'd like to center it around this theme, being quick to observe. It was in the year 2000, about this time of the year, and I received a phone call about 8 o'clock at night. And it was a secretary from the athletic department at Ricks College. And she said, "Lori, there's going to be a meeting in the Hart Building, Hart Auditorium, at 8:30 tomorrow morning. We're all supposed to be there." And I said, "Okay." And so I hung up the phone. And in a half an hour, another secretary called, this one from the physical education department. She said, "Lori, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the Hart Building, and everyone's supposed to be there." And I said, "Okay." I hung up the phone and I told my husband, Rich, I said, this is going to be a pretty important meeting, two secretaries calling me at home in the evening like this. Well, I kind of had a sense of dread, brothers and sisters, for some reason, and a sense of fear, not knowing what this meeting might be about. But my husband and I talked about it, and we thought, you know, maybe Ricks College will become a four-year school. But that just seemed inconceivable because we'd been told for years that Ricks College would never become a four-year institution. Hey, we had had so many people tell us that it would never happen. Well, that next morning, I got up early and I went for a run, and I was running down the road, and I remember seeing a van coming up the road towards me, and it was Brother Devin Shom in his van, and he was going to the meeting. He was coming in quite early, but he was going to attend the meeting. And he kind of had a funny look on his face, too. And I think everyone was kind of wondering, what is this about? Well, I went home after my run and then readied myself for work and came in for the meeting. We're sitting in the Hart Auditorium. I was in the red seats. And they had the satellite screen set up. And about 8:30, the screen came on and President Hinckley was on the screen. And he said, "We'd like to make an announcement relative to Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho." And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he said, "It's a threefold announcement. Number one, Ricks College will no longer be a two-year junior college, but a four-year university." Well, there was a cheer that went up in the Hart Auditorium that, you know, was everybody was excited. I mean, this is cool. We're going to be a four-year university. Then the next part of the announcement. The school will no longer be known as Ricks College, but will be known as Brigham Young University, Idaho. And not a lot of cheering, okay? I mean, everybody's going like, "Hey, come on, what are you doing? We've been Ricks College for over 100 years." And then the third part of the announcement. And Ricks College will no longer have an intercollegiate athletic program, but they will have a broad-based activities program. Well, brothers and sisters, at that time, I was the women's basketball coach at Ricks College. And I thought, these were my first thoughts. He didn't really say that. I must have misunderstood him. And so I sat there thinking, what did he say? Did he really say that? Well, he finished with his announcement, the prophet finished, and then Elder Irene came on the screen to take questions and answers from the press. And the first question asked, brothers and sisters, was, "You mean Ricks College will no longer have football?" And Elder Irene, being a prophet, seer, and revelator, he didn't understand the program really either, because he said, "No, Ricks College will never have, will not have football." And I thought, he did say that. We're not going to have sports anymore. We're not going to have an intercollegiate program anymore. Well, brothers and sisters, I just lost my job in 7 seconds, okay, just sitting there on those red seats. Well, it was devastating, if you really want to know. I was devastated. And I sat there for a while, and everything finished, and people were walking out, and people were excited, and all these kinds of things. And finally, I got up, and I went to walk out of the Hart Auditorium, and President Garth Hall, who was our athletic director, was sitting up in the bleachers, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, "We'll talk later." So I went into his office, and not all the coaches, but most of the coaches were in his office, I think kind of waiting for him to come in, and it was a very lively discussion, if you can imagine. And I sat down in the secretary's chair, and I was kind of listening for a moment, and something told me, and brothers and sisters, I am so grateful that at that moment I was quick to observe. Something told me right then, "Lori, get up and get out." And I got up from that chair and I left the athletic director's office. And I walked down the sidewalk to my car and I started to cry, because I didn't understand what was going on. And so I drove home, I walked into our home, and I went into the bedroom and I knelt down by the bed. And I said, "Heavenly Father, I do not understand this. It's incomprehensible to me what's going on here. But I know that Lehi had a dream, and Nephi, his son, wanted to have an interpretation of that dream. And because he prayed for it, he received that. I know President Hinckley has had a vision or a dream, and I pray to understand it, to have my own interpretation of that dream or vision." Well, I got up from my knees, and I was just kind of wandering around the house, wondering what to do next. And the neighbors called. It was the groom family. And they said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." They said, "Why don't you come over?" So I went over to their house, and we were talking about this announcement and what was going to happen and what was going on. And we talked for about a half an hour, and I then set their children down in front of me. And their children were upset, especially their two oldest girls, because they had been our ball girls, and they had been involved in our basketball program. And I told them, I said, I don't understand this, but I want you to know that when the prophet speaks, the debate is over. We talked a little while longer, and then that afternoon at 5 o'clock, they had a press conference right in this room. And I was sitting right over there, about where you're sitting right now. And President Bednar was here, and he was taking questions and answers from the press. And a lot of press had come up from Salt Lake in that area, wondering what was going on as well. He's taking questions and answers, and people were attacking him. "How could you do this? You know, this has been a longstanding tradition in this institution, and how could this be happening?" And I mean, they were firing questions at him like you couldn't believe, and they were kind of mean. And I, Russell, right where you were, I wanted to stand up and say, "Would you guys knock it off?" But I didn't have enough guts, so I just sat there. I didn't open my mouth. Well, then President Bednar fielded some more questions, and I asked a few. And then after that meeting, I walked up to Elder Bednar, and I said, "President Bednar, I don't understand this. But in our home, when the prophet speaks, the debate is over. I want you to know I will support you in this thing." And he looked at me and he said, "Lori, I always knew you would." Well, now, brothers and sisters, I had given him my word, and it wasn't easy to keep. It was difficult. It was difficult to try and understand. But I kept praying to know what was going to take place. Well, a few days after that, Garth Hall called me and asked me to be a part of the committee that would establish this new activities program. And I think we hear throughout the last 5 years, well, this is Elder Irene's program, or this is Elder Bednar's program. Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not true. This program is the Lord's program, because I was on the committee. I went to the meeting where we were given our charge as a committee, and we visited with Elder Bednar for about 20 minutes. And he didn't tell us anything about the activities program, except to develop it. That was it. And we would ask questions like, well, is it supposed to be a sports program? You're getting ahead of yourself, he'd say. You know, you need some guiding principles. You need to establish a foundation before you decide what it's going to look like. And we'd ask another question. No, you're getting ahead of yourselves here. Don't get ahead of yourselves. And he just bring us back to establishing this foundation of the program. That was the charge we were given. That was it. Well, the first meeting we had, we're all looking at each other because we don't even know what to talk about. We have no idea what it's supposed to look like. About a week later, I went to another meeting, and I walked in. Today, I was mad. That day, I was mad. Okay, it was one of those bad days where, you know, we're not going to have athletics anymore. How can this be? And I walked in. I remember saying, and for you that know me, you can hear me saying this, but I just said, this better be good because I'm mad today. And by the time I left that meeting, brothers and sisters, I knew that this was an inspired program that the Lord wanted on this campus. Well, we worked for almost 2 years to put this activities program together, to develop guiding principles and all those things that to you today are just, they're just normal things that you talk about each and every day. And then it started. We started hiring people. That process was amazing. People would come in, we'd interview them, and then the person would come in, and we knew we wanted that person. Not that we wanted them, but the Lord wanted them. I remember one time we were talking about Brother Dougherty. See, Brother Dougherty had applied for the basketball position, and it just didn't seem to fit for him. We didn't know what to do. And finally, hey, it was volleyball. He was going to be hired as the volleyball coordinator. And it felt good. But we also knew that didn't really make sense either, because he's a football quarterback, you know, an All-American football quarterback, you know, but he's supposed to be our volleyball coordinator for some reason. I remember walking out of a meeting one time, and somebody said in the meeting, it was a hiring meeting, and I think I was going to Nevada for a weekend. We were over in this building. I was just walking out the door, and somebody said, well, who are we going to hire for the baseball coordinator, Lori? And I turned around and I said, Phil Crane, and walked out the door. That was it. The Lord's hand was in this from the beginning. We were sitting in another hiring committee meeting, and we're talking about the basketball coordinator position and who we're going to hire for that position. And we talked about everybody, including Brother Dougherty. And Garth Hall said, well, Lori, there's one more person. And I said, who's that? And he said, Trent Shippen. And I started to cry. And I said, he'd be great. But now our problem was, how are we going to get him out of BYU Provo to come up here? He was the women's basketball coach at BYU. I called him that night. And we talked on the telephone for, I don't know, Trent, half an hour or so. And I knew he was going to come. And he did. And what a blessing. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord's hand was in this program from the very onset. I remember, though, knowing that and being in Albertsons one day, and one of my peers, well, he'd been my boss for several years, and I just loved and respected this man. He's an older man. We were talking about the announcement, no athletics, and all these kinds of things, and I was trying to share with him. I was basically bearing my testimony about the program. And as I checked out my groceries, he was in the check stand just that side of me, and he looked at me and he goes, I'll give you guys 5 years. Well, brothers and sisters, we're entering your sixth year. This year will complete 5 years, and it's bigger and better than we ever imagined. because it's the Lord's program. What a great thing. Now, I want to tell you about the first meeting we had. It was scheduled for the man-wearing center. It was at 1:45. I believe it was on a Thursday. And all of us were there, Brother Shippen and Brother Crane and Brother Dougherty. We were all there, and we were all nervous because nobody showed up. There was nobody there, and it was supposed to start at 2, and it was 1:45. And pretty soon, Garth Hall and President Bednar came in, and I think they were kind of worried too. You know, it's like learning by faith thing. We had walked to the edge of the light, and now we were in the darkness. And we were hoping and praying, brothers and sisters, that the light would follow, that you'd show up. By 2:00, there were over 500 of you in that room. It was marvelous. Another testimony builder that this was the Lord's program. Well, throughout these last 5 years, people have asked me, how did you bring the gospel into your basketball program? I guess that was something that I was kind of noted for. So now I kind of want to change tones just a little bit and talk about that. How do you bring the gospel into your programs? Well, brothers and sisters, I've been reading, I finished it now, but a biography of Elder Maxwell. And I learned something from that biography. You don't bring the gospel into basketball. You bring basketball into the gospel, okay? The gospel is our core foundation, and everything we do in this life, we bring into the gospel. Elder Scott was here just this Monday, and he talked to us, and he said this, "You teach by what you are." Brothers and sisters, it's really hard. You see, I don't like canned spirituality. Well, we're going to do this today, and we're going to bring the Spirit here. See, I like spontaneous spirituality. And so you teach by what you are. You got to live the gospel before you can bring basketball into the gospel, or volleyball, or golf, or whatever you're playing. I'll tell you a story. It was in 1993. Coach Shippen was my assistant basketball coach. It was a great year. I don't know. Do I have time to tell this story? It's kind of long. It's a great story. And it's true, too. It's one of the stories I tell is true. But anyway, no, they're all true. Anyway, it's 1993. We had a great team that year. And Ricks College had never won the Region 18 championship. And so we worked hard, and we were able to go to the region tournament over in Twin Falls. We played CEU the first game, and then we played Snow College the second game, and then our third game was North Idaho, and that was the championship game. North Idaho was a great team as well, and so it was just nip and tuck first half. We were up by one, they're up by one, scores tied all first half. Well, right before the first half, we'd been playing man-to-man defense. Right before the first half, I called Alamo. I told our girls to go into the Alamo defense, and that was a 1-2-2 matchup zone. Because we'd gone into that defense, we gained a little bit of the momentum. And we went in the locker room, and I believe we were up by 3 points in the locker room at halftime. So I was, making all these offensive and defensive adjustments and whatever. And in my mind, the whole time, I'm praying, Heavenly Father, bless me that I can make the necessary adjustments tonight so that we can be successful. And brothers and sisters, a voice came to my mind. And it said, Lori, use Colorado. Now, Colorado was a defense that we had used earlier in the season. It was a 2-3 matchup zone, and teams knew how to beat it. And so I was fearful. I was not quick to observe. And so I just kept yapping, just like I am now, and pretty soon the voice came again, a little stronger. Lori, use Colorado. Nah, if we use Colorado, we're going to get beat. Can't use Colorado. Not very quick to observe that still small voice. So I ignored it again. Well, as we did our little let's go thing in the locker room to go out, the voice came very strongly this time. Lori, use Colorado. So I said to Coach Shippen as we were walking out of the locker room, I said, Coach, we're going to use Colorado. And he goes, Colorado? And I said, yep, Colorado. And he said, okay. So we called the girls over, and we said, we're going to go into our Colorado defense. And they thought we knew what we were doing, and so they went into Colorado defense. Well, brothers and sisters, with about 4 minutes gone in the second half, we were up by 12 points. And we blew North Idaho out of the gym that night with Colorado. For some reason, our Heavenly Father wanted us to win that championship that night. We didn't know why. But anyway, after we won the championship, that gave us the opportunity to go to the national tournament in Tyler, Texas. And so we had to leave that next Sunday. We had to leave at 3:30 in the morning from here, this parking lot down here. We loaded a bus because we had to catch a 9 o'clock flight in Salt Lake. Well, earlier in that week, a man called me, and he said, Sister Woodland, my name is so-and-so, and he was not the mission president, but like a stake missionary, okay, in Tyler, Texas. And he said, we hear that your team is coming to Tyler to play in this tournament. Would you mind putting on a fireside for us that Sunday night? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So we settled on 7 o'clock Sunday night that we would do a fireside. Well, we got to Salt Lake, and we caught our flight. We landed in Dallas about, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had plenty of time to drive to Tyler, Texas. But when we got off our plane, some of our luggage was lost, so it took us some time. We had to fill out those forms for our luggage. And then Ernie Reidelback was with us, and he was our radio man, and his radio equipment hadn't come in on the flight. And so we had to wait for that. And then Coach Shippen and I went to get the vans, and they were all messed up. Well, we didn't get out of Dallas. It was like 5:30, 6 o'clock before we ever left Dallas. Then we got lost, and we couldn't find our motel, and we got to Tyler. And it was like the fireside was like at 7 o'clock, and we got there like at 8:30. And so I told the girls, forget the fireside. Let's just, put our luggage in our rooms and go to bed because we were so tired. Well, when I walked into the lobby of that hotel, here was this little man with a name badge on, his missionary name badge. He said, Sister Woodland? I said, yes. And he said, they're waiting. And I said, what? He said, they're over at the ward house. All the youth are over at the ward house. They're waiting for you to come. And I said, you're kidding. He said, oh, no, they're waiting. They've been singing hymns while they waited. So I said to the girls, okay, put your luggage in your rooms. Let's go. So we go over to this ward house, and like we're a wreck. Okay, we've been traveling. We've been up since 3 in the morning. Girls' hair's poking out and everything, And I'm sure they're looking at us like going, this is the team. But anyway, we went into that little fireside, and we didn't put on the fireside we had determined to do earlier because there just wasn't enough time. It was late. But we did put on a fireside. I remember I said a few words. I think Coach Shippen said a few words, and some of the girls bore testimony, and then some of the girls sang for them. And then they had us up in a line, a big line, down the front of the cultural hall. And so I looked kind of down the line, and I said, would anyone else like to say something? And Jenny McGinnis, Jenny Johnston, she'd gotten married in December, so she had two names. But anyway, she said, Coach, I've got to say something, I thought. And she was crying. I thought, okay, whatever, Jenny. And so she stood up, and she bore a testimony that would have blown you out of the water, brothers and sisters. She said, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that we are not here for you tonight. You are here for us. You are a testimony to me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. I grew up in Utah, and my parents had to make me go to firesides. And here tonight, we were 2 hours late. We're 2 hours late, and you waited. You're a testimony to me that the gospel's true. Well, brothers and sisters, from that time forth, things changed. We were on a mission. Okay? We weren't there just representing some little junior college in Rexburg, Idaho. We were there representing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We went to the gym that next day. It was Monday. And on the first day national tournament, you walk in and you get a practice time. You get a half an hour. We walk into that gym, there are American flags surrounding that gym. It was awesome. The Spirit was so powerful. And you know something? You know what's amazing? It's probably we're the only people that felt the Spirit there. Because you teach by what you are. We had been prepared. We had testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We felt it. Well, we had our pictures taken, you do all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you, when we walked in that gym, if you were to compare our little team to magazine covers, okay? Teams and people would sit throughout the gym to watch it warm up and to watch it practice. And this team over here, sitting over here, you'd look at them and you go, Cosmopolitan, And over here, maybe Ebony magazine over here, okay? We walked in, everybody looked at us and went, Field and Stream. I mean, here we are, a bunch of tall, skinny, white girls from Idaho and Utah coming to the national tournament. I'm sure people just looked at us and went, what are these guys doing here? Okay? Well, we were on a mission. I'm not kidding you. Tuesday, we played Copiah Lincoln. They're ranked third in the nation. They're 32-0. Brothers and sisters, this is how much faith I have. There's a possibility of playing four games in the national tournament. I only took three outfits. I just thought we were going to get beat. I mean, that's just a normal thing to think, really. I had to go shopping, okay, while we're at the national tournament. Well, anyway, we're playing Copiah Lincoln. And we walk in the gym, and we warm up, and my girls are, like, running faster, playing harder, shooting better than they've ever shot and played in their entire lives. I bring them over, and I said, what's with you guys? And they go, Coach, can't you feel it? Can't you feel the spirit? I go, well, I guess, yeah, but settle down. You know, we got basketball to play here. Now, the cool thing about it, though, is this little youth group that we'd spoken to on Sunday night, they're all sitting behind us the whole game going, keep the faith, keep the faith. I kid ya. It was amazing, brothers and sisters. Well, anyway, so because our theme that year was keep the faith, or you got to have faith. That was on our shirts, okay? And so they'd see that, and so they would keep the faith. Well, anyway, at halftime, I think we're like up by a point on Copiah Lincoln. And somebody said, I think it was Annie Esplin, or somebody else said, hey, we can play with these guys. And Annie Esplin said, no, we can beat these guys. And we beat them, brothers and sisters. I remember walking in the I'm talking too long, huh? Walking in the athletic director's office after that game, and because I had to call home, you know, and call the press, tell them we won and everything. And the athletic director's on the phone, the tournament director's on the phone. And I'm behind him. He doesn't know I'm behind him. And he said, we just saw the biggest upset of the tournament. Ricks College just beat Copiah Lincoln. I'm going, ooh, yeah, we did do that, you know. So the next day we have to play John A. Logan. And John A. Logan was sixth in the nation. And we beat them. And that little youth group's still there going, keep the faith, keep the faith. So then we had a day off. And then the next day we had to play, who did we play on the next day? I can't even remember. But anyway, they were good. Oh, Lewisburg. And they were the defending national champions. It was a great game, but we lost by 1 point. Well, my girls had gone to the laundromat to wash uniforms because they were pretty sweaty. But anyway, and they came home and they were going, Coach, we're at the laundromat. And some guy said that Ricks College is a fluke, that we winning those games is just a fluke. And I said, well, I don't know, maybe we'll just fluke our way through this tournament. So anyway, we did. That we lost that game, but then we got to play for third or fourth place. Now, brothers and sisters, I didn't want fourth. I want third. Okay? So we're playing Independence, Kansas. Now, they've got two girls on our team, 167 and 165. They were on the Polish national team. And because they were from Poland, they had to go to a junior college before they could go to Division I. So they're on this Independence, Kansas team. I said, girls, block out. Okay? We got to block out. Got to keep them off the boards. Well, brothers and sisters, we won that game too. But not only did we outscore them in that game, we out-rebounded them by one rebound. That big Polish national team, Independence, Kansas. Well, anyway, it was a wonderful time. But the whole time that youth group was behind us saying, keep the faith, keep the faith. That final night, we were the preliminary game to the national championship game. And the gym was packed. Okay, and it's not a large gym, but it was not a small gym either. But it was packed because everybody was there for the championship game. And I remember that youth group saying, keep the faith, keep the faith. And people in the audience that didn't even know us were chanting as well, keep the faith, keep the faith. They didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know we were Mormons from Rexburg, Idaho. They just saw in us something that was different, brothers and sisters. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost, that gift of the Holy Ghost that all of us have been given. Brothers and sisters, I was so grateful that day that Jenny McGinnis, or that night, that Jenny McGinnis was quick to observe the power of the Holy Ghost, telling her that it was different, that these young people were different. Brothers and sisters, today I'm grateful that I'm here, and quick to observe that you are different, that you listen, that you obey, that you watch, and that you learn by the power of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we have to turn up the wattage. Just as it was at that national tournament, it was powerful. How powerful is the Holy Ghost in our lives? How quick are we to observe when He speaks to us? You know, we often hear people say, well, I felt the Spirit. Isn't it wonderful to feel the Spirit? But isn't it more wonderful to hear the Spirit talking to us personally? When a voice comes into our mind and tells us exactly what to do next? I've been to a lot of your athletic events. It's wonderful. Once in a while, I'll cringe a little bit because someone will lose a temper or say something they might not say. Please, brothers and sisters, don't be treasonous to your trust. The Lord has trusted you with a great program. We gave up something that was very good here at Ricks College for something that was better, and that is this program. So that not just 12 girls could have experiences like we had in Tyler, Texas, but that 700 of you each semester could have those same experiences. That you could become participants and not spectators. I was driving down the road the other day. It was in the spring semester. And I saw people, young people, playing tennis. You had your uniforms on. Okay? Girls had their little skirts on. The guys had their shirts on. And I started to cry. And I said a prayer right then. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that I was a part, that Thou allowed me to be a part of that program for a short period of time to understand what that's all about. It's about changing lives. It's about learning and growing in testimony. Please, brothers and sisters, when you participate, be quick to observe if you're going to lose your temper and get yourself out. Take yourself out. Be quick to observe if a teammate's going to lose their temper or do something that would be treasonous to their trust. Okay, and put a darkness on this marvelous work and a wonder. Help them take themselves out so that that doesn't take place. One more story, and then I'll let you go. I know I'm way over. But they said there would never be football on this campus. And that was, if there'd never be football, it was almost like the opposition. Darkness would win if there was not football on this campus. But we had Brother Dougherty here with us. And we were talking one day, and I said, Troy, is it time? And he says, yeah, I think it's time. So he went to work, and he did research for probably 6 months on how we could have football on this campus. And then we went to Elder Bednar and the brethren, and we said, we need football. And he said, you think it's time? And I said, it's time that we have football. I'll never forget that first football game, brothers and sisters, out on the field here, and President Bednar, Elder Bednar, flipped the coin. And then he came up and he sat right next to me in the bleachers. And you began to play. And it was marvelous. Because it was everything that we had envisioned. You played so hard. You knocked each other silly. But when you got up, you slapped each other on the rear end and went back into your huddle. It was just amazing. I sat there, and I'm not a real emotional person. Well, I kind of am. When I'm speaking, I guess I am. But anyway, I was sitting there, and tears were running down my face. And Elder Bednar sat right next to me. And he looked at me, and he's the first person that's ever given me knuckles. Is that what you call that, knuckles? Under his arm, so nobody else would see, he lifted up his arm, and he went just like that and gave me knuckles. We'd done it. We had football at BYU, Idaho. And amen to those people of darkness that said we'd never have it. Brothers and sisters, you're a testimony to me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. The Lord's hand is in this program. You are here for a reason. You know, people always say they maybe put BYU up here and BYU Idaho down here because we don't have intercollegiate athletics or whatever. Give me a break. Okay? The Lord loves you. He's put you in a special place because He knew you could do it. And not every young person in this world today could do what you do. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for the marvelous work and a wonder that you are and that this program is. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.